Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across EWTN Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It's a Wednesday. It is October 28th. Wow. We are moving through this month so quickly. I feel like it just keeps going and going, and it's faster and faster because there's so much to talk about and so much to share with you. I do hope you can stay tuned for the entire program. We have two great guests. Of course, we always have Joan Lewis on Wednesdays. Boy, there is a lot to cover with Joan in Rome. A lot going on, and really heartbreaking to see some of these riots and the problems in Milan and Rome and also Naples. The Italians are just getting, and you can understand their frustration, but you don't want to see this kind of activity where people possibly could get hurt or businesses could be damaged. But people are very frustrated with the lockdowns, and as we say in Italian, basta, they've had about enough. And it's a very frustrating because they've been they were locked down the worst and for the longest. And it doesn't look like some of the efforts that they've undertaken are having that much of an effect. So there's a lot to look at. And now it's even impacting the Pope and the Vatican because, the Christmas liturgies, obviously they'll still be broadcast online and carried by various television networks, including our own, because we always broadcast the masses from Rome and whatnot. But it's so sad because now they're going to be closed. They're not allowing diplomats or anybody beyond the those who'll be participating in the liturgy to be there for these masses, which are really quite an event. If you've ever attended a papal mass period or something around the holidays, it's really quite powerful. So I was sad to see this, that the Italians there or people living in that part of the world who can get into Italy still are not going to apparently have that opportunity unless that changes. So Joan will be talking about that, as well as other stories making news with the Holy See. A lot to discuss, as I mentioned. And then I think you're going to really get a lot out of our first interview out of the gate after the news this morning at about 15 minutes past the hour with our wonderful dear friend and Catholic apologist, convert to the faith, author, speaker, and pilgrimage leader Steve Ray. Has been doing a lot of teaching and speaking online about the issue of being called a one-issue voter. I'm sure many of you have faced that, and it's very frustrating, but at the same time, in my husband's homily over the weekend, he kind of took a really positive twist to that, and because he was talking about the pro-life issue and what it means to love the Lord your God, obviously based on the gospel, with all your heart, mind, and strength, and what that means in terms of really embracing what the church teaches on the life issues and why the bishops and the Pope says this is the preeminent issue, and our teaching goes back and reaffirms that on and on and on. But he said, so people may call me a one-issue voter. And he said, go ahead. My one issue, my Catholic faith. It is the factor in everything we do, or should be the factor in everything we do and all the decisions we make. And where was I speaking just recently? Oh, I think I was doing that election night online event with Father Frank Pavone, and we were talking about that. That came up, one of the questions from the folks who were tuned in. And I said, man, call me a one-issue voter, because that's the one issue that affects everything. So you better believe I'm a one-issue voter, because without life, you're dead, and nothing else matters, quite frankly and bluntly. Anyhow, we will discuss with Steve Ray coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. Then, as I mentioned, the one, the only, Joan Lewis. And I am so honored and grateful to my beautiful sister, Jeanette Williams, for inviting me to be part of her amazing Women of Grace show. We're doing two shows on voting, and one tomorrow, and then another one on Friday. So there's two separate programs, and we really dive in very deeply to the teachings of the church. And she also asked me a lot about my experience in the media and how much people are being misled by the secular media. So just a reminder, we do have that posted on our Facebook page to, maybe if you aren't home at that time, you can set your, your recorder. It's not a VCR anymore. What am I thinking? DVR. Boy, how old am I? Anyway, you know what I mean. Record it, whatever you have to do to record it. But I think it'll be well worth your time. Her shows are great in general. And she had two shows recently with Al Cresta that were off the charts. And we have links to those shows, by the way, on my voter's guide, which you can find at AveMariaRadio.net on the homepage there, Teresa's Voting Tips. But tomorrow and Friday, two episodes with the one, the only, Johnette Williams, Women of Grace. That's coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern. And again, record it if you can't be there to watch it as it airs. All right. A lot of news to get through today as well, so I do hope that you can stay tuned. Oh, there's one story I do want to mention that I need you to follow up on, and I need you to take a really close look at it and share it if you can. Catholic News Agency has this report, and we'll have a part of the story. I can't read the whole thing on the air, but they did a great job of talking about what's going on in the state of Colorado. Now, they're preparing for a ballot referendum banning abortion after 22 weeks. Now, one of the out-and-out lies of the leftist media who are staunchly pro-abortions, and studies back this up. I have all the research in a number of my books, including my first book, Noise. Anyhow, they claim that late-term abortions are, oh, they're just so rare. Not that it matters when you kill a baby. That's not the point. But they're trying to minimize this disgusting practice by claiming that, disgusting practice in general of abortion, by claiming that late-term abortions do not happen that often. Well, according to research, first of all, and this just came up in recent discussions in some of the live Zoom events I've been doing, according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and the Guttmacher Institute, the research arm of Planned Parenthood, the numbers show that there are some 10,000 late-term abortions a year. 10,000. 10,000. And I think Ray did a pretty good job of describing what happens, well, during an abortion period, but especially during some of these late-term abortions, okay? So now we are in looking at the state of Colorado, as this report does with the Catholic News Agency. And the claim that these are extremely rare, not. This one facility, the abortionist himself kept records revealing hundreds of late-term abortions performed over a 20-year period on babies with fetal abnormalities, including Down syndrome. So this is from the abortionist's own records, and this is just one facility in one state. So if anybody tries to sell you the garbage, the baloney, the nonsense that these things don't happen quite frequently, you tell them you've got some oceanfront property in Arizona to sell them, because that's just a blatant lie and fiction and denial. And I am so sick and tired of this. This is one state and one facility. And they even have a link to the statistics in this article. This is at CatholicNewsAgency.com, and we'll get to it in the news. All right. Let's see what's happening on a Wednesday. It is October 28th, 2020. Well, speaking of the life issues, the Holy Father is saying today at the audience that he is asking for the intercession of St. John Paul II for all hearts to be inspired with the respect for life, and he prays for strength to those who welcome life with heroic love. This is also, by the way, at the CNA website at CatholicNewsAgency.com. He said, through the intercession of Mary, most holy, and the Holy Polish Pontiff, I ask God to inspire in the hearts of all respect for the life of our brothers, especially the most fragile and defenseless, and to give strength to those who welcome it and take care of it. The Holy Father's comments coming just days after Poland's constitutional court ruling that a law permitting abortion for fetal abnormalities was unconstitutional. Protesters were filmed interrupting Sunday masses over the weekend following the ruling. Now, the Pope noted that October 22nd was a feast of St. John Paul II and recalled he always appealed for a privileged love for the least and the defenseless and for the protection of every human being from conception until natural death. Meanwhile, in the state of Colorado, residents there are preparing for a ballot referendum, as Catholic News Agency reports, that would ban abortion after 22 weeks of pregnancy in the state. While abortion advocates argue that such abortions are extremely rare, statistics recorded by a longtime Colorado abortionist shed light on late-term abortions performed at just one clinic in Colorado. The data revealing hundreds of late-term abortions performed over a 20-year period on babies with fetal abnormalities such as Down syndrome. The abortionist Warren Hearn, active in Boulder since 75, releasing a paper in 2014, including his own statistics about the facility and the number of abortions performed between 1992 and 2012. The stats show that his clinic performed hundreds of abortions on women who are at or past 24 weeks, including several performed on women between 38 and 39 weeks gestation. Nearly 240 of those late-term abortions performed on babies with Down syndrome. Amy Coney Barrett is the sixth practicing Catholic justice at the Supreme Court, joining Justice John Roberts, Justices Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Sonia Sotomayor, and Brett Kavanaugh. The Archbishop of New Orleans congratulating her on Monday night, calling the Louisiana native one of our own, and the President of the University of Notre Dame, Father John Jenkins, calling Barrett an esteemed colleague and a teacher revered by her students. She's the first Notre Dame Law School alum to become a Supreme Court justice. Authorities are telling Philadelphia residents to stay indoors as violence continues following the fatal shooting of an African-American man. Walter Wallace Jr. shot and killed Monday during a confrontation with police in West Philadelphia. Police say he was carrying a knife and heading toward officers. What started as a peaceful protest turned violent when the crowd was met by a group of officers and police were then pelted with rocks and bricks. Police also say a crowd of roughly 1,000 protesters were seen looting businesses in the Port Richmond neighborhood. A National Guard spokesman says several hundred members of the Pennsylvania National Guard have been mobilized in the city of Philadelphia to assist police officers. A former business associate of Hunter Biden's claiming in an interview on Fox News last night that the Biden family shrugged off concerns that Joe Biden's alleged ties to his son's business deals could put a future presidential campaign at risk.
I assure you, this is the absolute last place I want to be right now and the last thing I want to be doing right now. But I feel like I have a patriotic duty to this country and every American citizen to go on record and define the facts for them and let them do their own work. Let them decide how they view those facts or not. But for the Biden family to deny these facts and then not only deny them, they could have just said no comment, but they didn't say no comment. They then brought in Russian disinformation and basically associated my name with that, which is absolutely disgusting to me.
Meanwhile, the director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, confirmed more than once last week that published emails alleging to document the business dealings of Hunter Biden are not connected to a Russian disinformation effort. In the interview with Fox News, Tony Bobulinski saying he raised concerns in 2017 to the former vice president's brother, Jim Biden, about Joe Biden's alleged ties to a possible joint venture with a Chinese energy firm. And in the interview, he outlines how an alleged meeting with Joe Biden took place on May 2, 2017. President Donald Trump is working to energize voters in Nebraska. He told supporters during a rally in Omaha they have a choice on Election Day between a recovery or a depression.
This election is a choice between the Trump super recovery, which is what we're having, or a Biden depression. Sad to say.
The president also discussed more help for Nebraska's farmers, the need to hire more police, and increasing penalties for assaults on law enforcement. The president also telling the crowd that if he was reelected, he would work to also ban sanctuary cities. Alaska Airlines, as Brian Shook tells us, is saying they've banned 146 passengers who are failing to follow their mask policy.
But they're not the only ones to hold customers accountable. Delta Airlines has barred 460 people, and United Airlines has blocked roughly 300 customers. Altogether, the three airlines have put about 900 travelers on a no-fly list. Those passengers will not be able to fly with the airlines as long as the mask policy remains in effect.
It is 14 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Wednesday morning, moving through this month of October. It is October 28th, 2020. Steve Ray has been teaching and preaching a lot on the issue of quote-unquote one-issue voters. He has a lot to say about that. I think you'll be interested. He's up next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Religious freedom and health care and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic health care and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in health care and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
Minutes past the hour. Always great to speak with my dear friend, fellow pilgrimage leader, author, speaker, convert to the faith, Steve Ray. Great website, tons of info, CatholicConvert.com. Steve, I know you've been talking a lot on this issue in your blogs and also doing other radio shows and also some online events. This is, I think, many people find it, you know, very challenging when someone says to them, oh, you're just a one-issue voter. My husband turned that around. He's going to kill me if he knows I'm talking about him, but oh, what the heck? I have a radio show, so I can do that. Anyway, he gave a really good homily on Sunday talking about, you know, what it means to be, quote-unquote, a one-issue voter. And he said, yeah, if you want to call me a one-issue voter, go ahead, because my issue is my Catholic faith, and that comes first. And he ended up getting some applause after one of the masses after he gave the homily. But I think we have to look at that and understand that when you have an issue that affects everything and is the foundation, heck yeah, I don't care if people call me a one-issue voter. What are your thoughts?
Well, Teresa, I would say I'm personally against slavery, but I don't want to impose upon people who own slaves. Mm-hmm. In other words, if this was the issue today, if slavery were the issue, if slavery were legal and we were still living under the Dred Scott Supreme Court case of 1857 that said that black people could not be full citizens of the United States because it would deprive slave owners of their property, if that was still in existence today, I guarantee that would be the single issue that we were all voting on in this country. That would be single issue voting, and it would be there. Almost everyone would be doing single issue voting. It's the same situation because the Supreme Court has ruled in Roe versus Wade that an unborn baby, and now even a baby that comes out of the womb, can be killed because it's not viable human life. And so I think that we have every right, if we believe that babies are humans and they are being slaughtered to the tune of thousands per day, that we should be concerned about that as much or more than anything else, because it's equally or even more egregious than slavery. Slavery doesn't kill someone. It deprives them of their freedom, but it doesn't kill them. And we should be concerned about human life. And I'll just end with this, that if we do not get the human issue right, we don't get anything right. All mm-hmm. of the other things that are issues, and there are a lot of moral issues out there that need to be dealt with. But if we get the value of human life issue wrong, we've got all of them wrong. We don't have a basis to defend any other rights of human beings. And if you send a spaceship out to Mars, and you're 1 millimeter off your target, the spaceship is going to end up 1 million miles off base. If we start out in our country off base on human life issue, we're going to end up way off in totalitarianism before we know it.
So what is the response you get when you give this talk or when you discuss this about the one issue voter?
Probably the same way your husband got. I get an applause or people say yes when they realize what it is. Other people say, well, you know, we have the all these other issues. We've got, my goodness, Medicare and war and end-of-life issues, euthanasia, human trafficking, immigration, poverty, homelessness, racism, gun ownership. Oh, my goodness, there's so many. How can you just focus on one issue? Well, the fact is that the one issue is the basis for all of these other issues. It's the most important. And if we don't want to believe it ourselves, the bishops have said it. Now, we've got a few bishops out there who I consider a big problem, like we have McElroy in San Diego and Supich in Chicago, who oppose that view. But the bishops overall, with only 63 abstentions, said that abortion is the premier issue in this election. It is the number one issue that we need to be concerned about. And something unprecedented happened in that bishop meeting is the other bishops all applauded when that decision was made. So it's very important for us to realize that this is the important issue. And when I say it to people, they usually understand it and they recognize it and agree with me once they understand what we're talking about.
Talking with apologist and convert to the faith, author, speaker, pilgrimage leader Steve Ray on a Wednesday morning. You probably are challenged often by, oh, you're just a one-issue voter claim or statement, which I know people get frustrated by, but you just need to know how to respond calmly and respectfully, but firmly, because the truth is the truth. And both, as Steve said, the bishops and the Pope have reaffirmed it, and not just that, it is church teaching and has been church teaching forever, and it's not going to change because everything starts with life. So, Steve, when you first came into the Catholic Church, was it frustrating for you to see the confusion, the lack of understanding, and so many people identifying as Catholic and yet having no problem with abortion?
Oh, of course. But I also came from an evangelical world, which was very similar. It wasn't until the 1980s, really, mid-1980s, when Francis Schaeffer, and he was my hero as an evangelical Protestant, I went and studied with him in Switzerland for a year. He brought the whole pro-life issue to America with his movie series called Whatever Happened to the Human Race, and he was the first one that got evangelicals interested in the issue. It was always called a Catholic issue. Abortion was referred to as the Catholic issue. We as evangelical Protestants had more important things to do, getting people saved. And by the way, you know, those babies get killed, they're going to go to heaven anyway because, you know, God has mercy and he's going to take them to heaven anyway. And we had kind of a cavalier attitude about it. I don't think that we as Protestants had ever come to grips with it yet. I remember my mom even saying, she's 99 years old next week.
Bless her heart.
And she's still doing great still. But she has said to me that if anybody had asked her if she was in favor of abortion, she would have said, what's an abortion? She didn't even know. And I think it took a while for evangelicals, because we did not have the theological traditional founding and groundwork that the Catholic Church did. We always called it a Catholic issue. But so it took us as evangelicals a long time to even get it on our radar screen. So it wasn't real surprising to come into the Catholic Church and find out. Until I realized that the Catholic Church had taught about this, it was a premier issue from the very first century. It had always been an issue. Contraception, infanticide, abortion, euthanasia, all of these had been considered as being wicked evils. But then it's very disappointing to find out that my fellow Catholics are willing to use the single voting issue as a smokescreen. And that's really what I think it is when they say, well, I can't just be a single voting person. That's a smokescreen to vote liberal or to vote Democratic because they don't want to vote for a Republican or they don't like Donald Trump or something like that. But I would also say, Teresa, about the single issue, it's not a single issue. We're also finding peace in the Middle East. We are getting people employed, so there's less homelessness. There's a lot, all of these other issues that we say are important issues. Also, those are being dealt with by the Republicans, and I think in a much more sane and rational way than they are by the Democrats. So when I'm voting Republican this time or for pro-life, I'm also voting for a whole lot of other things that are also being done and being done well.
Well, I think in terms of one issue, it seems to be, you know, the opposite. It seems to be projection, because the one issue that keeps coming up, and again, we can't tell you for whom to vote, but this is in response to what I'm seeing out there and following the secular media and our own coverage and also emails and messages that I receive, the one issue is a hate for a particular candidate. So while they're claiming that we are one issue, some people are even calling up radio shows here. For example, on Dr. Ray's show last week, the big issue is they just don't like a particular candidate and they can't move beyond that. So who's the one issue voter? I mean, I would think that we have to really look in the mirror and ask ourselves that question. And also, why are we not looking at these bigger issues? Steve, let me ask you too. Go ahead, Finn.
Well,
go ahead with your comment.
Can I just comment on that real quick?
Yeah.
That abortion is the sacrament of the left. That is their most important issue. If you doubt that, just go back and re-listen to the Senate hearings for Judge Coney Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett, and see that that was the primary issue. The left is a single-issue voting bloc as well. They are going to vote to protect abortion no matter what. All the other issues be damned. That's the one issue that they will hold on to and fight for Roe versus Wade over any others. So the left is also single-issue voting in most cases where they're just voting.
Well, always projecting what they're actually doing onto us in order to cover for their own guilt and issues with slaughtering 2,000 babies a day. All the way through 9 months of pregnancy. More with Steve Ray when we come back on a Wednesday.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band. And I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child. But I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
In the world of religion, what constitutes a promise? What constitutes a vow? How do they differ? The Catholic Catechism states that the Christian is called to make promises in a number of different ways, such as in baptism, confirmation, matrimony, and holy orders. A Christian may also make promises that are uniquely his own, such as promising to say certain prayers, give alms, or make a pilgrimage. Remaining faithful to a promise we make to God demonstrates the respect due him and his divine love. A vow is a deliberate and free act of devotion in which a Christian dedicates himself to God or promises God some good work. The Church recognizes as especially exemplary those who embrace the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
28 minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection on a Wednesday. Hopefully giving you lots of great ideas and strength and support in your efforts to preach the truth and love. And talking with my dear friend Steve Ray, who's a wonderful teacher of the faith. I just enjoy him. He's so down to earth. He's so real and so knowledgeable. His website is terrific. It is CatholicConvert.com. Steve, I was mentioning in the first hour of the program to the listeners who listen online or in Michigan about this wonderful mini-retreat that Deacon Dom and I were able to attend online with the one, the only, Father John Ricardo, and he was talking about the early church, which I know you're so familiar with and not knowledgeable of. He was talking about what the apostles didn't have to begin doing what they did in terms of spreading the gospel. They didn't have church buildings. They didn't have religious orders. They didn't have a ton of money or hardly any money. You know, they didn't have a big backup support or, you know, all this, you know, the church stuff that we look at today to say is necessary for evangelization. They had their love and knowledge of Christ, and look what they did and who they are. And that was kind of the summary of the reflection of the Word Among Us today. And I think we forget that, and we have to really dig in and understand our faith and remember the beauty of the truth and the depth of the church teachings. We don't have to be afraid of someone who just says, oh, you're a one-issue voter, and then back down because we're like, ooh, I don't know how to respond. Your thoughts?
The early church did not have freedom. They didn't have any of those things
right.
listed, but they also were deprived of freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Gee, that sounds familiar.
Yes, and they didn't have that. They had to gain that over time and by through martyrdom. They actually had to suffer to get that right. But the early church didn't have those things. It was a struggle for them all the way through. You, what I think is going on, Teresa, I'm just doing my own story here as a convert. I was out on a raft. During the Protestant Reformation, a bunch of people jumped off the ship, which is the Catholic Church, on its way to heaven. People were on that ship, and then they got built rafts, and some, like Martin Luther and others, jumped off that ship, and now mm-hmm. there's about 40,000 different rafts floating around the ship. I got on the ship. I saw that ship, and I said, wait, what is that? How come I'm out on a raft if there's a ship going across? And I finally got on that, you know the whole story, but that I tell when I give my conversion story. But now I'm on the ship with my family, and I'm so happy to be Catholic. But now I see all these problems in the church, and people don't know their faith, and some are even, because of problems in the church today, they're deciding they're going to jump off the ship again. And I say, wait, stay on the ship. Learn what we teach. Learn the history. I had to fight to get on this ship. Don't leave. For crying out loud, it's much better on the ship, even with the problems, than it is out on a raft. Wait till the next storm comes along, if you don't believe me. And I think our job now as Catholics, even because there is such confusion among the clergy even and
right.
the bishops as to what's right and wrong, it's our job to get out the catechism and to get out the early fathers of the church. It's not difficult. It doesn't take rocket science. And just learn what our faith has always taught us, what the truth has been for 2,000 years. It's not going to change. There may be squirrely bishops and priests out there. I just said that because a squirrel ran across my front yard. But there's going to be squirrely priests and bishops who are going to question the teachings of the church, contradict the teachings of the church. They will be judged by God for what they do. I'm not going to be in charge of them. What I'm in charge of is the people who are around me.
That's
I
right.
want them to be strong in the faith. I want them to devote correctly. I want them to understand the truth and teach their children right. So my job is to understand the perennial and historic teaching of the Catholic Church, hold fast to it, teach it, and get other people to hold fast to it and teach it as well.
And also, that means that we have to dig a little bit more deeply and learn about our faith. I was sharing with the listeners in the first hour another story I'll share right now. A very nice lady contacted me on Facebook in a message and said that she's being challenged by someone who took something from a wayward priest, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to give him any more free publicity. He's a media darling of the left, let me put it that way. And she says, she's doing this to try to discourage me, and this comes from a priest, so I need a response. Will you write a response for me? And I said, no. I said, with all due respect, I will not write a response for you, but here's what I will do. I will give you some places to go for information. And I said, here are some links to voters' guides. And I gave her the guide that I put together, and you were grateful enough to pass along. And I said, now go through these things and study and see what the church says. I said, if you want to write a response and then send it to me before you send it out, I'll take a look at it. I said, but I really want you to take this on as an assignment, and not just an assignment for this particular person, but something that you do when you don't know how to respond. We should be doing this every day, learning a little bit of our faith. That is the only way you're going to learn. That's how Deacon Dom and I learned. We didn't, you know, take any official course and try to learn all about the faith. It was little by little, studying, reading scripture, looking up documents, asking questions. And I know the same for you. You did your own research.
It's incumbent upon us. Catholics have become lazy and think that the priests are supposed to do everything for them, including educating their children. But this is not the case at all. We are to educate ourselves. We are to learn. You read through Paul's writings, and we are to learn. We're to study. We're to educate ourselves and be strong in the faith. Because, you know, there's going to come a time where there's going to be more and more persecution, Teresa, and I think it's going to be more incumbent and important for us to know the truth, to have verses memorized, catechism paragraphs memorized. And I tell my kids, I want them to raise my children, my grandchildren, 18 of grandchildren now, I want them to be raised to be martyrs. I want them to be ready to die for Christ if they have to. Yesterday I went to a church where he had hundreds and hundreds of relics. And we spent almost 2 hours going through, listening to the stories as he told about each one of those saints and those relics. I got to bring you there sometime, Teresa. That's fantastic. And we need to teach our children that there were people who died for this. mean, we think we're inconvenienced a lot of times, but come on, people have died for this. They have suffered because they believe that Jesus Christ was true and that these doctrines that the church has taught are true, and they're not willing to bend. And yet here we find people who are willing to vote for all these other things and not be concerned about the primary issues that Christians have been concerned with from the first century.
And also not concerned with the overall common good, which is what's so frustrating
right.
to me, and really just voting on their dislike of a person or something else. And that's what's really frustrating to me, is this inability to connect the dots and look at the big picture, which is what our faith calls us to do. I mean, John Paul II, I spoke about this yesterday with Dr. Ray Guarendi, gave us faith and reason. What does that mean? That we don't just go on our feelings, because our feelings can change every other second, depending on the moment of the day. And the media play on that. They play on those feelings. They play on the emotion. They lie. They use images to put certain ideas out there, especially when it comes to the issue of abortion, the original part of our discussion. And then people just believe it right away. They don't say, is this true or why? They say, well, this is what happened, and I'm totally buying into it 100%, and that drives me absolutely nuts.
Exactly. And there are other issues that we need to be concerned about in our voting and in our national discourse and dialogue. But always we have the primary issue. And I've learned to, if the media says something, that basically I'm going to go the other way, because I've learned that they have a bias, that they are completely...
I don't even think it's a bias anymore. I think it's total collusion. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it in all. And Vanessa Denhagarmo and I have had so many discussions with our friends who still work in the media, and they are just so frustrated themselves. And they are. We've had one reporter tell us that he's asked to lie every single day. Every single day he's told to lie to make a particular party look bad and another particular party look good. And this is from...
Well, the Democratic Party has become a wing of the media has become a wing of the Democratic Party.
That and anything left of center. I mean, I don't think it's just the Democrats. I just think it's any cause that is, you know, extremely left-wing. Steve, great discussion. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work. CatholicConvert.com. Do not be afraid of being called a one-issue voter, because life is everything, brothers and sisters, and it should come first. Amen.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, avemariaradio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Call to Communion.
Through Edmonton Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. This afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
When their teens are struggling with depression, parents often wonder whether medication or therapy is the best way to help their kids heal. A new study published in the medical journal The Lancet sheds some light on this question. In a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind study, the so-called gold standard in medical research, doctors found that psychotherapy alone helped depressed teens and young adults just as much as those receiving counseling and medication combined. The authors of the study suggest that psychotherapy, especially cognitive behavior therapy, which addresses unhealthy thinking patterns, should be the first line of treatment for teens and young adults, with antidepressants being used only as a support to therapy when necessary. The good news is that teen depression responds tremendously well to treatment, but it's important to make sure that your kids get the right kind of help. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Remember, the church is the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And all roads lead to Rome, because that's where our church is, right? And in the hearts of all of us, we hope and pray. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 39 minutes past the hour. Joan Lewis with us from Rome. And Joan, I have to ask you, because I'm so skeptical of what the media show, you and I both are because of our backgrounds, and what is going on in Rome? Because I'm seeing also Milano and Naples, Roma. It looks like there are a lot of protests on the streets and tear gas being dispersed and all kinds of problems because of more restrictions. What say you? You're right there in Rome, right next to the Vatican.
Oh yeah. I'm on the little WhatsApp group thing we have for, you know, Vatican journalists. Some of them posted their own pictures of, you know, Piazza del Popolo, Piazza Risorgimento, as you know. If you come out, it's like four blocks from St. Peter's Square. So there was, I'm not going to investigate these areas myself. I will trust the journalists who are covering, you know, Rome and the COVID and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't just TV. It wasn't just online. It was, you know, colleagues who posted their own pictures of these places. You know, people are just, yeah, they've had it. I mean, I think the whole world is in COVID, you know, overdrive or something. And the thing is, here, I don't know, in the U.S., checks went out and companies got money and et cetera, but here the government just did more talking than anything else. For example, my friend Jesse, who has home-baked, you know, they were forced, like every single eating place, to be closed for months and months until May, mid-May. And the most he has gotten, it had nothing to do with his business. He got a check for 600 euro, which is like, what, $700, 650, because he has two kids. And that's it. He's gotten nothing for all that time that he was closed. So now, if anybody's, they're not forced to, eateries are probably the most hit. Well, gyms and cinemas and things like that have been totally closed. But rest, because I don't really go to gyms, I guess, or not to many movies outside, I haven't paid that much attention. I know that would be a big part of a lot of people's lives. But that's where you get massive crowds. That's where you get people gathering, even if there's the social distancing, you know, in it. But for the restaurants to close at 6 at night, as I wrote on my blog yesterday, Italians don't even walk into a restaurant for dinner unless it's 7:30 would be early, 8 or 8:30, even 9 would be the normal time.
Right, 9
so
usually,
yeah. Restaurant at 6. Or people could, you know, I could probably call Claudio at La Vittoria and say, can I have, you know, a serving of lasagna and a serving of something, and I can go pick it up. But I'm not going to do that, you know. Anyway, so restaurants closing at 6 is a huge, huge, that's a huge bite in there. But because, first of all, you have to know how to, when the government had decided shorter opening hours, these people have to know how to buy food.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, the biggest number of people that you have come in the evening, they come on weekends, especially Sunday, so you have to be able to know how to order fresh produce and your meat and your fish and everything else. But to close at 6 o'clock is an hour verging on insane. Because people don't eat here at 6. They don't eat at 4:30 or 5, so that they're through by 6. At 6 o'clock, as you know, Teresa, this is when Italians take their evening stroll.
Right.
And this is when they have their coffee or coffee.
They go for
coffee,
a cocktail, their Aperol Spritz. Right, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, anyway, the pictures of violent disturbances that you've seen are real, and all the related close-down things are real. They're even talking about not perhaps traveling anymore within Italy. They haven't said that yet as a law, but there's kind of that little, what do I say, hint out, a suggestion that you don't leave your, you know, for me to go from Rome to Sorrento would not be a good idea. In the first place, it's in the same region of Italy, Campania, that Naples is, and Naples is having a very bad time.
Very tough time right now, yeah.
Tough time. What, the numbers going up.
Now, do you know if did they give you any schedule? Did Italy say how long these new restrictions are going to last, these new lockdowns or these new closures?
Until the 24th of 24th of November.
Wow.
And I don't know, but I'm hoping that is before Thanksgiving. You know, is anybody going to do Thanksgiving? North American College. I've gone to the North American College for, I can't even tell you how many
right.
years.
I know. We if so enjoy the stories you share. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because they have it on Thanksgiving Day. They have a big mass. And then they had not only their staff and all of the seminarians and priests and everything, but then they have invited guests. And so that's always on Thanksgiving Thursday. And if I ever want to have a Thanksgiving dinner for friends, I usually do it on Saturday. So, you know, will I be able to have right now? You can have six people in your home. You can have, and they suggest wearing masks at the dinner table, which if something is not insane, then, you know.
Wearing masks at the dinner table. Okay.
At the dinner table. Oh, yes. And then unless, if among the six people at your table, several are friends and not related or, you know, living with you, your family in the same house, they recommend. Of course, they're not going to send police knocking on your door to see if you're wearing a mask in your own home, which I think I can safely say that I won't do. And I don't even know if I'm going to be having guests. Entertainment is a big part of my life. So we shall see where things go. You know, will people just limit their dinners to friends? I mean, to family or, you know, close, lifelong friends? Everything has changed. And 6 o'clock now, you know, oh no, you don't know. You haven't seen all the new ones. The restaurants, there are four eateries in my block long building. And
right.
The one outside, I put this yesterday, I walked by Capitano Cono, which used to be just an ice cream place, then it became a bar, now it's added a restaurant. And Giorgio, the owner, put a sign outside, and it says, from 3 to 5, come for like the equivalent of happy hour, from 3 to 6. And it says, 3 to 6, and they call it Avoid... What is it? Oh, anti-COVID, pro-alcohol. And then they have some amazing...
Wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Anti-COVID, pro-alcohol. And they have, like, you know, $3 for a glass of wine or Prosecco and different cocktails and everything. So maybe I'll go down tonight and see if Giorgio's doing any business.
Now, which one is that? Is that the one that where before you come to your apartment along
right
that stretch? Okay. Yep. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, right outside my front door and to the right.
Okay. Yep.
So the last time you stayed here, it was just an ice cream place.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then Giorgio enlarged it. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
I just don't know. I just feel so badly for all the people who've never been to Rome and who knows. Now, we also have the news that the Holy Father is not going to be opening up the Christmas liturgies, which is such a shame. That's going to be, obviously, they'll have the masses and whatnot, and we'll show them on EWTN. But now that's closed as well, correct?
Well, we just got at 2 o'clock, so 45 minutes ago, we just got this from the press office. That's the November Feast of All Saints one. Oh, well, I'll tell you about that. On November 2nd, Feast of All Saints, the Holy Father is going to celebrate Mass for the faithful departed in the Vatican's Teutonic Cemetery Chapel. No participation of the faithful. At the end, he will pray in the cemetery and go to the Vatican grottos to commemorate the deceased popes. At 11 on the morning of November 5, he will preside at Mass, but they don't say where, for the deceased. Oh, yes, they do. Pope Francis will preside at Mass for deceased cardinals and bishops. Like all other liturgical celebrations in the coming months, the Mass will be celebrated at St. Peter's Basilica at the altar of the chair with a very limited participation of faithful, as has happened in recent months due to COVID-19 restrictions. This is in compliance with protection measures provided and subject to variation due to the health situation. And I knew that Christmas was going to kind of be like that because we got a hold of the October 22nd letter sent out to members of the diplomatic corps written in French that said that the papal Christmas events, no schedule was mentioned, but due to COVID, will take place without the presence of the diplomatic corps.
Yeah.
They always have, you know, very special seats right up close and personal to the papal altar. So I'm just guessing that what I just read to you, because it begins with, like, liturgical celebrations in the coming months, so I'm presuming Christmas will be Altar of the Chair, several invited faithful, obviously there'll be, you know, some cardinals and so forth. Oh my gosh, Rome just came on the TV. I just had the news on. Mm. All the violent police reactions. Anyway, so, yeah, things are going to be reduced here until, like they are around the world, my dear.
Now, what does that mean for you in getting back home? Because you always come home for the holidays. What are you hearing for your own situation?
Well, when my October 26th flight to the States was canceled, I spent a long time on the phone with United and looking at various possibilities. And plus, I had a flight in the spring. I did have to change the date on that, in May, to be in Chicago for the ordination of a young man to whom I gave our family chalice some time ago. So that's written in stone. But so now I changed it to just kind of, okay, let's look at December, and I'd like to be with family. I'd like to be home. So I've reserved for December 19th to go to, it's a flight to Chicago and then to fly on, I hope, to California. But even now, with the restrictions that were put in place this week, they said they're going to be looking very carefully in coming weeks. They didn't say months. Coming weeks about people leaving Italy for elsewhere outside of Italy. So they're looking at the European Union, and they're looking at how hard it might be to get back in Italy if you come from a place that is outside of Europe. So obviously that means, you know, the U.S. So we live here. We've had three government updates and restrictions and stuff in the last 2 weeks. So I can't even tell you where we will be next Monday. But anyway.
Well, we keep praying. It's just the whole situation, why we have to be cautious. It just seems so sad that I believe that we have to learn to live with this while using the, you know, whatever, you know, precautions we can, yes, but we have to get on with our lives, and you know what I mean?
Teresa, and I agree with you, but you know what? It's like one of the protesters saying, okay, like, so restaurants have to close at 6. Okay, so in other words, there's COVID before 6 and there's no COVID after 6.
Right,
I get
it.
You can save an entire economy if you let restaurants stay open till 9 or 10.
Right.
Those of us who frequent restaurants, or those who are in town for business or Lord knows whatever, there are a few tourists, they go in the evening. But this way, where do you get food, a meal in the evening, if you don't live here?
Right.
I have no idea.
You know, it seems all very inconsistent and just kind of like knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
And I think as we're hearing more and more doctors coming forward, even though at least the media here in the States are trying to suppress them, more and more doctors are saying that what we're claiming is a cure is much worse than the virus itself, and that we have to be cautious but then get on with living, because it's just over the top, causing more problems than we ever expected. Joan, thank you so much. We're out of time, unfortunately, and look forward to catching up with you again next Wednesday with the latest news out of the Vatican. And don't forget to watch Joan on At Home with Jim and Joy from her beautiful reports from Rome. They're just stunning to look at, but also to hear her reports, because she has so much information about the Vatican, and then also her beautiful blog, Joan's Rome. We'll be right back on a Wednesday to let you know what's coming up on a Thursday. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current healthcare plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Religious freedom and healthcare and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic healthcare and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in healthcare and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria and EWTN. Don't forget, all the sections of Catholic Connection and our programs that we produce can be found at AveMariaRadio.net and the archive section. So if you want to go back and listen to an interview that we did or share it with someone, it's all there, just like that old Prego spaghetti sauce commercial. It's all in there. Anyway, tomorrow, learning more about someone on the way to sainthood, Father McGivney. Big events coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that. And also more on the election from a very strong church leader helping us navigate through some of the bad stuff out there and the confusion that Steve Ray and I were talking about earlier. So this plus you all on a Thursday morning. And don't forget all the great resources. If you want to really help yourself and your family, as Steve Ray said, understand why abortion is a preeminent issue. Visit our voter guides, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. See you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.